Jesus told us in today's Holy Gospel, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are people to reach. There's work to be done. And the danger of the church today is that it's not seen as the most important work. People are involved in so many things of this world instead of reaching out to people with the Word of God. His answer is this, and I want you to hear this clearly, because we can't do any of this by ourselves. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You heard those words read this morning by Deacon Bob. He didn't say, you know, take your backpack and go out and do it yourself. First, go to God. See who he wants to send. Maybe you're going to say, here I am, send me, if you heard that before. Jesus saw the real potential of the harvest, and he focused on one thing, hope. Jesus said, get the sickle and harvest them. He saw them being transformed, and he saw the lost being saved. Jesus saw sinners becoming saints. He saw the guilty being set free. He saw the unforgiven being forgiven. And Jesus saw those deserving hell instead getting grace. Instead of moaning and groaning about the bad state of affairs, Jesus stressed the expectancy and hopefulness that is anticipated in the harvest. I've got an interesting question for you. Do we see people around us as potential saints? What do you see? Isn't it true that many of us are busy doing our own thing, whatever that might be, that we never see the potential in the world? It's hard. It really is. I want to suggest to you that where there's a lost soul, grace still reigns supreme. Not one of us here in this church or in any church can give grace. Grace only comes as a free gift from God. We can't do it. There's hope, and there's a potential saint. We can't let past fruitlessness or fruitfulness cause us not to see the hope in the harvest. What a harvest there is. Over half of America, over half of Coffee County is available to harvest. What an opportunity. Now that's potential. So many of us have a heart to rescue a pet, myself included. So I've got to ask, why is it so hard for us to rescue a lost soul? Facebook is filled with preserve this pet, get this pet to safety. God bless him, it's a wonderful thing. I have a heart for pets, but I also have a heart for the lost souls. And there are so many. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. The problem of people not being harvested is not God's fault. He still saves. The problem is, but the workers are few. Sadly, not many people are interested or involved in gathering the harvest. And Jesus's play on words here is masterful. Plentiful or large versus few or small. Do you know why workers are few? Let's face it, it's hard work. Jesus doesn't say witnesses are few, but he says workers are few. Now, have you ever planted a garden? And I think probably many people here have planted gardens. One morning you wake up and all the beans in that garden had jumped off the vine and were piled up on your porch. You'd be saying, what a miracle. Have you ever planted a garden and one morning all the kale was neatly bundled on your porch? The harvest does not come on its own. It has to be reaped, and that's the problem. It appears that the harvest lies waiting, but the workers are few. Now notice Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. So how do we do that? Easy. We need to pray. Why? Because This is the Lord's work. What's impossible with men is possible with God. If there's going to be a great reaping of the harvest, it'll have to be because of God. The harvest we want is impossible with us. Only God can heal the lame. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can heal sickness. Only God can cause dead ears to hear. Only God can cause dead tongues to speak. It's His power, and we must pray for Him to use that power by preparing the soil. Through prayer, we will gain the compassion we need to see the harvest as they truly are. And it's through prayer we will see that there's a great potential in the harvest. And it's through prayer that we will ask of the Lord of the harvest to send workers. Let me ask you this. How can we ask God to send someone else out without first saying, "Lord, send me"? Jesus says, pray, because while you're on your knees seeking a change in those that are lost, God will be changing you so that He can use you to change those that are lost and gather a great harvest. Now, you might be saying to yourself, "I'm not qualified to do that." No, but He is, and He'll give you what you need. You know, you might say, like Moses said, I can hardly speak. I'm a stutterer. And God said, "Okay, I got your brother coming already. He'll speak for you." Don't put God in a box. Let God be God, but you pray for His will to be done. Ironically, right after Jesus spoke of the harvest, we're introduced to the workers that He's chosen, that He's called by name to lead into the fields. And as Deacon Bob read this morning, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. God bless Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. Each one of these men, except for Judas, would be given power by Jesus and His Holy Spirit. And He sent these people out, these men, these 12, out to the lost sheep of Israel to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near. And I find it extremely interesting that Jesus sends them with explicit instructions. They are to rely on the hospitality of others. They're not supposed to take a lot of money with them. They're not supposed to take extra sandals or a tunic. No. But instead, He says God will provide for them, and He does give them one thing. He said, "I give you the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons." And then He says, "Freely you have received, freely give." I think that would have gotten the attention of the townsfolk, don't you? But they were not used to these blessings to bring people to them, but to take care of the people who have taken care of them. Freely you have received, freely give. People who were willing to receive the message that Jesus had given them to share would be blessed. So what about those who said, don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about any of that. We have that happen today on TV. In many circles. Jesus was very clear. He said, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town." In other words, you gave him a chance to hear the word of God, to hear the invitation to eternity with Jesus. And if they refuse, well, the choice is theirs. God gave mankind the freedom of choice right in the very beginning to accept His invitation or not. I think that through our lives we're given opportunities to accept, but we can't say how many times God will take rejection by the people that He created. So let me make it even clearer for you this morning. Jesus had this to say about the invitation, which is for everybody, everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What an invitation. But he went on. And a lot of people don't like to hear this part. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's still great news. Now here comes the tough part. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In other words, they tore up the invitation. And he said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. He goes on, right on through to verse 21, but I won't read that to you this morning. What I just read to you is John 3, 16 to 19. God loves us so much that he sent his Son to suffer for us and die. He wants to spend eternity with us. He doesn't want to lose one, not one. He wants the harvest to be full of saints, but on his terms. People can either accept his gracious invitation or not. The choice is clear, and he needs workers to reap the harvest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.